If you could delete one song from existence so that no one ever has to hear it again, what would it be and why? That was one of the viral questions that happened over the weekend.
So it's not like a real power that they're bestowing upon somebody that somebody else has already revealed that they have. It's just a hypothetical.
Though. Yes, but it's such an interesting thing because the top three answers are so weird.
Okay.
And ones that I would never think of. Coming in number three, voted from everybody on Reddit, thousands of people.
Yeah.
1-877 Cars for Kids.
K-A-R-S Cars for Kids. Donate your car today. I also like Giant Auto Glass if we're doing that one too. That's a good one.
First of all, the fact that a jingle made the top three songs that people want to ban forever was wild to me.
Maybe think about it. You're going to know the lyrics to Oscar Mayer Wiener forever.
I see. I think it's excellent marketing. That would never deter me from donating a car. I would like to give my car for kids. It seems like it makes sense.
Sometimes that's what it is, though. It's saturation, right? Somebody gets so sick of something, it's been forced down their throat. Even though they might like it at once, it's too much. But what else?
Number two on the list of songs that people want banned from existence.
Yeah. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. That one hurts, man. I love me some George Michael.
I love that song.
Yeah, that's a very lovely song.
Granted, it's creepy if you listen to the words and you wonder like what was happening at the time.
Yes, it is true.
But it yells Christmas. And speaking of things that yell Christmas, number one is a Christmas song too.
Could you hurry soon? Daddy says there's not much time.
Because the mom's dying.
You see, oh, gosh.
She's been sick for quite a while. No, the mama meets Jesus.
Oh, my gosh. Is that Christmas Shoes song?
Yes.
Yes, I hate that song. I can't do it.
It makes me sad. And you can't talk bad about it. I have to tell you, every year when we make fun of the Christmas Shoes song, I get about 13 emails from people talking about how much they love that song.
True story. Know that I leave the room whenever we play that song.
I don't think we play it anymore.
Do you remember the last time we played it? I said something to somebody. I was like, this is the most depressing thing ever. I don't think I can make it through another show.
Right. Yeah. But if you could ban one song from existence, what would it be?
Well, while we're going with that depressing vibe, I'm going to go with Happy with Pharrell.
Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
Let me tell you the problem here, Anna. This song goes nowhere. It's the same verse, the same words over and over and over again, the same beat for 4.5 minutes long. And if you ever go to like a family function, a wedding or something like that, God, you got to know that every toddler is going to get up and dance to it because they love the Minions.
Right.
And once that starts, guess what? Nothing else is going on here. We might have to hear this song 4 times at this party.
I'm not a big fan of that song either. It's funny you should bring it up because it's usually consistently voted as most favorite for parties. My least favorite, when you work in radio, you're not supposed to make fun of any songs that you play.
That's true.
But this is one that, and Raven will attest, oh. I don't know why, but it drives me nuts, that song. Something about it makes me crazy.
Yeah, what's amazing to me is that song is still out there a lot of places.
It's 15 years old. 15 years I've been disliking that song.
Mm-hmm. It's a real commitment.
What do country superstar Lainey Wilson and me have in common? Besides a love of cowboy hats?
It's going to be a short list. I'm a fan of both. I mean, I like you both.
We both had wardrobe malfunctions this week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Lainey Wilson, she's super famous for always wearing the bell bottoms on stage. That's her thing. And here she is joking that she almost gave her fans a real show because she split her pants while she was performing on stage. Yeah, put on jeans when you're sweating. That's no joke. Oh,
they grip things in the wrong spots,
forget
right?
Forget it.
Yeah, a couple of those dips, right? Anything could happen.
I do some TV, like once a month I go and I do a segment on a local television station. And as I was getting ready to go on, I noticed that like my shirt kept coming down. And like you kept seeing my bra. And I was like, that's so like weird. Like, I didn't realize it all day. And
It's happening now.
It's happening now. So, you know, I asked the universe, because I ask the universe all the time for things. I said, dear universe, please don't let me show my bra on TV today.
Right.
And then, you know, we recorded. It played back later. And as I'm watching it live on TV, I said, there's my bra.
Perfect.
There's my bra.
Did it like
do a world to see?
Did it do a peekaboo, or did it stay out there the entire time? Did you adjust after? Is there any time that the camera pivots away?
It was a 5-minute segment.
Yeah,
I made it to the last 45 seconds to a minute,
and then it had to happen.
Would you like to see it, Raven?
Yeah, sure. I think that would be a good idea. Right, let me
see.
There
it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's prominent.
Uh-huh.
Wow, that's a good freeze frame, too. They catch you in mid-word right there. It's not a good photo.
It's not a good photo.
That's great.
And I'm like, why? Like out of all the things that and I'm so self-conscious about it, and I keep, looking down. And for some reason, I let my guard down in the last minute of that interview.
You released something around your armpit area or something. Your shoulder rolled back the wrong way, and all of a sudden, boom.
Everybody, look at my bra.
Yeah, look at it. I'm here.
And I wanted you to imagine me sitting on my couch watching this on my TV and just wanting to die.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? Sure. Why? I feel like these things like always happen to me. The wardrobe malfunctions, the big mistakes. The biggest wardrobe malfunction I ever have, I can't tell on the radio. But if you ever see me in person and you're a woman, I won't tell you if you're a guy. If you're a woman, just say, what happened when you were on stage with Vanilla Ice? And I'll tell you that story.
I mean, it's happened to lots of people.
What was your wardrobe malfunction? Make me feel better about myself. Alicia.
I have one bra from Victoria's Secret, the bombshell, you know, the really big push-up.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I cannot wear that anymore because it kept happening where, my boob starts to half pop out because it's pushing up too much. Maybe I got a size too small. I don't know. But it's, started to come out and been really awkward on a couple of dates where I'm just, popping out of my shirt because my boob won't stay in my bra.
Some of those push-up bras are ridiculous. Like, you put them on and you're like, excuse me, my chin is touching. I don't understand. Who can wear those comfortably? Unless you're, a model or something like that or a real housewife.
I feel like those are surgically altered and you don't need to wear a bra anymore, right? You know, all that work's been done.
No, they have ones that with natural, they just push you up so it's too much information, but I know exactly what you're talking about. You know what? Just to make myself feel better, it's out there. It was on TV. If you want to see the picture of my...
It's a great picture. The frozen photo?
Look how ugly my face looks.
Well, here's the thing, right? I mean, I can't even see the bra because you have a dragon sneer going on there in that photo.
If you have a story too, make me feel better. What was your wardrobe malfunction? 1-800-330-9999. Despite asking the universe to not have a wardrobe malfunction on TV, that is exactly what happened to me. I had a shirt that kept falling down, and out of nowhere, I get on this TV segment I do every month, and sure enough, when I'm watching it back live, there's my bra for the world to see.
Booyah. Mm-hmm. It just couldn't be controlled anymore, Anna.
What was your wardrobe malfunction? Make me feel better about this. 1-800-330-9999. Chris.
Well, I was a big biker earlier in life, and I would wear, jeans when I was biking and whatnot. And I think just the repetition of me riding a bike and I would develop holes in all of my pants, just down near the crotch area. So it was something I could deal with because it was in a hideable area. But every once in a while, I was I had to bend down or I get down on my knees or something. And someone would be like, hey, there's a hole right in your crotch. I see you're wearing orange underwear today. And that was just something I had to deal with for a while.
You know what, Chris? I have kept a lot of jeans that I had with holes in the crotch.
You shared this with me, is that Anna is a crotch holer.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it.
Because sometimes, the way, not lately, but the way that you chafe and the way, when you wear your favorite jeans all the time, that's where it wears out. And sometimes my favorite jeans are my favorite jeans, and you can't get the same jeans anymore. And I've held on to them with the hole because, like you said, you can't really see it.
Yeah.
And I just roll with it for a while.
Dude, I am late 40s. I've had maybe one hole in the jeans and the crotch that it wore through in all the years. You talk about it you have dozens.
Oh, no, there's been many, many. I understand where
he's
coming from.
Anna's never been a biker.
Never been a biker.
Imagine if you were a biker.
All my pants would have holes in them.
That's right. Maybe that's where chaps really came from. They were like, you know what? This eliminates the crotch hole.
Well, the chafing is a real thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I there's Facebook groups devoted to chafing. In my family,
I don't ever want to join that group,
it's
by the
called
way. Thank you.
Mega Babe. If you chafe and you don't own Mega Babe, go get it. It's basically deodorant for your thighs.
Okay, it's a good product.
Yeah, and it's not deodorant, but you know how
it makes it slippery? It's a lubricant.
It makes it not chafe. Yeah. You need to not like rub against each other. It works. My family swears by it. Mega Babe, it's what it's called.
Mega Babe.
You can get a Sephora and Ulta wherever you buy your
Try
chafing
that, Chris.
Stuff.
All right. Put it on your motorcycle.
Nice.
Wanda, you had a wardrobe malfunction?
Yes. So I was feeling all cute. I had a new dress on. I'm going out for girls' night, and we're dancing on the dance floor, and I'm feeling more of a breeze. The zipper on the back of my dress had busted open.
Mm. That's a big thing for women, and it happens a lot.
Well, listen, when you start dancing, right?
Yes.
It's got to hold it, but you know what? I'm going to stop talking.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what? But safety pins at the ready.
The safety pins can't fix that.
Yes.
When it splits in the middle, when the zipper splits in the middle, like that, there's no coming back from that.
You need multiple safety pins.
No, you need a sweater. That's what you need to put over it.
If one safety pin won't fix it, how about a dozen?
It was a loose dress, so we just bunched it up a little bit.
Yep.
And then we had three safety pins, so I was good to go.
Yep.
But I just made sure, you know, I dance in my feet for the rest of the night and not on the dance floor.
Three safety pins and a half a roll of duct tape, and we got this car back running. The helicopter's back in the air. We can fix anything.
Fired Friday. What went wrong at work? And then we're going to guess whether or not you got fired. 1-800-330-9999.
If you've had a terrible day at work, a terrible week, a terrible month, whatever it may be, or a traumatizing event that happened at your job before, this will make you feel better.
All right, Frida, what happened? Fired Friday.
Well, all right, so I work at a very nice ladies store, and one of the customers came in, and all of a sudden, like, I just looked over, and she was throwing up on the floor. And as a manager, you're supposed to be responsible for cleaning up those things. Like, we don't have a cleaning crew. And obviously, I was a little grossed out. I didn't want to clean it up, so I didn't. And I was very adamant about telling them I ain't doing it, and I didn't, and yeah, that's pretty much what it was. And that was already like the third time that something gross had happened in the store. And again, this is a ladies' store where you expect everyone to have a bit of decorum, nice and elegant. And that was like the third time that I saw some ghetto stuff and I couldn't do it.
Oh, okay, lots of questions.
Right.
One, are you the manager at the store?
Key.
One of the managers, yes.
It sounds like a shift manager, basically shift supervisor, that kind of thing.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So we would be required to, you know, take care of things like that, cleaning the bathroom, you know, like cleaning up after people.
Did that woman apologize and or offer to clean up herself?
It was a young girl, so I shouldn't even say woman. She did look like she felt remorseful and that she felt bad. I've had other people that have really, like, literally left and left you to clean it up and didn't even apologize. So I will say that she did, you know, show a bit of, I'm so sorry, guys. And she got a couple, she tried to clean it up, but she didn't clean it up all the way. It was still left as a task.
Gosh, this is so hard because, like, it's nasty, right? It's nasty.
Yeah, and it's a biohazard.
Right. But it's your job to clean it up, and you know that as a manager that it's your job to do that.
And it's not something that's never happened before. So let me just ask you one more question before Anna guesses. You mentioned there was a couple other times where something disgusting had happened. How recent were these other situations that happened?
Well, what I can say is I've been here a little over a year, and this is the fourth gross thing that's happened. And for some reason, it always happens in my space. You know, like the space that's closest to me. Surely I'm not making people gag or anything. Can't be that. But it's happened like four times.
Four times.
Four times has been some stuff that you just don't. If you're not my child, I can't do it.
Okay. Did you clean it up last time?
One of the times when it was less trouble. Yeah.
Okay.
But not this time.
Mm-hmm. I think you got fired. I think that it's like one of the things that it's a manager's duties, and you're basically saying, I'm not doing that. So you're going to basically say you're not doing your job.
I'm going to say that four incidents inside of a year is a lot, and it's a little bit more than regular people should have to deal with all the time. The location of the store seems suspect to me. Gosh, it's hard to say because, you know, you were verbal about it. Yeah, maybe you got fired. I guess I'll just roll the dice. Did you get fired?
Nope, I did not. And the reason why I didn't is because I communicated effectively. So I didn't say what my spirit felt. I didn't say it how I wanted to say it. And because I had been a team player and had, you know, attempted to help before, they just kind of let me have it.
So who cleaned it?
Yes.
Right.
Who cleaned it up?
One of the other managers. Do you want me to throw up on the floor too?
No, I don't want you to do that. So. I don't want that.
Yes.
That's a real thing.
They understood.
Your turn, 1-800-330-9999. What went wrong at work and did you get fired? Fired Friday. What happened at work that went terribly wrong? And then everybody's going to guess. Did you get fired? 1-800-330-9999. All right, Benny, what happened?
All right. So I used to work, I drive boats, and I was working on a boat tour, like a boat touring company. And I got a little bit too close to the shore, and I got the boat stuck in some mud, like underneath. So yeah, that was a pretty bad one.
Hold on. Did you have people on the boat that were paying customers?
Big question.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, well, I did.
That makes it inconvenient for everybody. Was the boat itself damaged?
No. I had to get cleaned up on the bottom, but no, it got stuck in like some kind of like thick mud, but it wasn't anything like hard enough to damage the bottom.
How long had you been there when this happened?
I'd been there about 6 months. It's a seasonal job, right? Happens in the summer, not in the winter. So most of the summer months.
Mm-hmm. What's that show? Is it Above Deck, Below Deck? Below Deck,
yeah.
Is it like Below Deck where everybody's super bougie and rich? Or is it just a regular boat tour?
It's a little more regular than Below Deck. Not quite as bougie and rich as that.
Okay. I think that's a real problem because it means you don't know what you're doing. And I think if you're the tour operator, you get fired.
Just one more question for me. Was this a posted area? Had you been warned about it?
Oh, not this area in particular, but, you know, being self-aware, I should have known not to be that close.
Yeah. I'm going to say that you didn't get fired, that you might have got suspended or fined or something, but I'm going to say that you did not get fired. What happened?
So you're very close. I didn't get fired, but like I said, it's a seasonal job. I didn't get asked back.
Oh, yeah. That happened to me one time. I worked at a country club, and I was in charge of flipping the grilled chicken in the snack shack.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there were some incidences where after dark, people would take the golf carts. And I was pretty much guilty by association. I never did it. Maybe, but
didn't drive it, maybe.
Right. And somebody flipped one of the carts, broke it, and then our entire team was not asked to come back the following summer, which stinks because it was good. It was good money, and it was delicious grilled chicken. I ate a lot of it.
Yeah, fun job.
Yeah.
Fun job. Maybe the portions was a problem, too, the portion control. Every time you handed out a sandwich, it was half the size it was supposed to be.
Well, nah, everybody got their grilled chicken there.
Well, it feels the same because everybody knows what transpired when the rest of the team comes back and you don't, but...
It's an easier blow, Benny, though, when they just don't ask you back instead of getting fired on the spot.
You got a whole winter time to figure out how you're going to pay your bills next
year. Right. That's a young mistake you make. Emily, what happened?
So I was working for a broker dealer firm, and I was the last one out of the office. And with all the sensitive information inside, I left and forgot to lock the door. So the office was open all night long.
That happens a lot, I feel like, when you forget to lock up and you're the last one out. You don't realize
it. Does it have an alarm, too?
What was the company? I'm sorry, I misheard.
Broker-dealer firm.
Oh, I mean, that's, like, serious. I mean, like, you know, just a lot of people's money is in there, you know? I mean, at least the information to get to it. Nobody gets in there, but it happens.
I think you get fired.
What day of the week was this?
It was on a Wednesday.
Well, that's better than a Friday. Oh gosh!
I don't think it matters what day. I think when there's certain rules that you cannot break. If it is your job to lock up the place and you do not lock up the place, I think that that's not something you get in trouble for. I think it's something you get fired for.
You know what? With everybody else's data in there, I'm gonna have to, I guess, agree with Anna here. I think you got fired.
I absolutely got fired. The next morning when I came in, my things were already packed up and waiting on me at the receptionist desk. Didn't even make it back to my office.
All right, of course. They could see it on the cameras, too. Yeah. They know who you are. You can't even lie and be like, it wasn't me. I wasn't the last one out. Sorry to hear that.
Glad my data wasn't stolen.
It's one thing when you're really injured. It's another thing when you get a minor injury and it just hurts so bad that you feel like you want to complain, but you can't.
Something small, but it throbs throughout your body.
1-800-330-9999. We're counting down the top five most underrated pains. Cassandra, number five.
When you swallow something like wrong and it like scratches your throat all the way down and then you kind of feel like you have this like lumped, scratchy sensation. It kind of gives me this panicked feeling for like a good hour afterwards.
That just happened to me not too long ago. I'm eating kettle corn in the studio and I was shoving it down my throat because before we had to like get on the air and I almost choked to death.
Well, you know how you could avoid that is not have seven at a time.
Well,
right?
I take a handful.
No, I know. I saw.
And then I put as much in my mouth as humanly possible.
Yeah, no, I saw that.
Yeah, there's not a lot of food I can eat, but I can definitely eat these kettle corn. So I eat it as fast and rapidly and aggressively as I can.
So while she was inhaling that, we also had to make a phone call. And she's like, let's go.
I didn't think I was going to survive it. I was choking.
I feel like Raven's just asking unrealistic things right now.
I mean, I would have been the one that asked to do the Heimlich. So, you know.
Liam, count down the top five. Give me number four. Underrated pains.
Oh, man. Biting your gum. It's the worst. I know. And it's like the worst part is that like you bite it. And then it's like kind of like a little bit like sore and swollen and stuff. And then like 3 hours later, you're not thinking about it. And you like bite it again because it's more prominent. Ugh.
Yeah. Any sort of mouth injury, anything like that. Because you're going to feel it all day.
You bite your tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't even really hurt, it just feels weird. Yeah. And so then you're like putting your tongue on it. Like if it's your tongue, that's one thing. But if it's like your gum, you're putting your tongue on it all day. So now you're just getting it, you know, worked up regardless. You're irritating it anyways.
Do you guys eat the insides of your mouths?
No.
Oh.
No.
I do.
No, I know.
Have you ever seen the inside of my mouth?
No.
You want to see it?
No.
It's really alarming.
Yeah.
And lately I've been eating.
You're still doing it?
Yeah. I'm constantly under stress. I can't stop doing it.
I felt like you told me this before and I thought it was going to be you're not doing it.
Hold on.
You're dying. Look at you. Yeah, you're eating the inside of your cheeks. I mean, that ain't right. It's not. All right. Get out of here. Get out of here. Listen. You're like one of them pieces of popcorn is going to come right back up on me here.
Scott, number three.
When you get an eyelash in your eye.
And then you're not right for like 20 minutes. Even if like you feel like you got it out right away or you have somebody blow on it, you got to put some water on that sucker and it just doesn't feel right for like 15, 20 minutes.
I have a hack on how to get the eyelash out. I've talked about it on the air before. I've received a lot of emails from optometrists telling me.
Ophthalmologist?
Yeah, ophthalmologist. Well,
whatever, you know what
I mean. Whatever, you know, the eye doctor.
Eye people.
They have emailed me and messaged me telling me to stop telling people to do this because it's dangerous.
It's fake.
But it works. If you close your eye really hard and take your finger and you push down for 30 seconds, it gets the eyelash out. But all the eye doctors, I'm telling you, have told me not to do this, but I'm also telling you that it works.
I mean, in physics, just thinking of the sheer thing you're doing, it makes no sense at all. But hey, whatever.
Yeah. Sierra, number two.
Stubbing your toe on the corner of the bed.
Oh, yeah. It hurts.
And the thing is, no matter what, whoever's around you, you're not supposed to scream out. You're supposed to just act like you can handle it. But it's killing you.
And Tessa, number one, most underrated pain, what is it?
A paper cut or a splinter?
Yes. Oh,
gosh. And then when you get some lemon on it, alcohol, any sort of spray cleaning material, oh, gosh, that's when you discover it in the kitchen and you howl.
I can't figure out what's worse, when you get a splinter or when one of your kids get a splinter and you got to get the tweezers out and you know all hell's about to break loose.
What if it's been a day or two that it's been in there?
No.
Now you got to cut it out.
What is the phrase that you use that is so embarrassing and it just dates you, but you still do it? 1-800-330-9999. My poor husband. Like living in our home with me and, you know, our teenage daughter and my little one. He is a girl dad at its best. He is the absolute most incredible husband, but he gets it. So when we had this conversation the other day, I couldn't wait to confront him.
Paul, can you use diddly squat in a sentence, please?
You ain't getting diddly squat.
Right.
Another sentence, please.
I don't know diddly squat about that.
One more time, a different topic.
You don't do diddly squat.
Do you think diddly squat is cool?
No. Why do you keep asking me about it?
Because you used it the other day.
It's like saying cheese and crackers. It's a different way of covering up for a curse word.
I can't even finish.
Just laughing at him. Just laughing at him. I mean, here he is, king of his castle. The man, he's, you know, in his kingdom, and you're laughing at him. Worked all week, and this is what he gets on his day off. Great.
We pulled out of a parking lot, and there was like a car blocking where you could see the oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
And he goes, I can't see diddly squat.
Can't see nothing.
And I look in the back at my daughter, Hayden, and I can see her like throw her hands up and roll her eyes. My husband, if you ever want to know when he grew up, spend 10 minutes with him because he uses all the phrases of the 90s. One of his favorites?
Yeah.
Whoop, there it is.
Party people!
Well, there it is.
There it is.
It's right there. I mean, it clearly, you know, shows you where it is.
Whenever he's in a good mood,
yeah.
Whoop, there it is.
You're
like,
beautiful.
My daughter's just like, "What, mommy, what is he saying?" And then whenever he's aggravated,
yeah.
Homie, don't play that.
Homie, don't play that.
I know that.
If there's a balloon around,
yeah.
He will hit you with it
yeah.
and immediately say that to you.
He's held on to that one for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of phrases that everybody uses, and you're probably guilty of it too, that you say it even though it's super outdated and it dates you.
Well, the number one thing that I do, and I mean it's literally out of my control, I can't do a thing about stopping it, is I reference movies left and right all day long. And they are movies from typically the 80s, the 90s. It's certainly the latest would be like the early 2000s.
There are so many times where we're on the air and we get off and I say, Raven, nobody knows what you're talking about.
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But the person who does is like, that guy's brilliant.
I'm aware.
The other thing is like I say things like Audi 5000.
Right.
Or peace out. Peace out. Word. I say word and I still mean it.
I have to remind Raven daily to stop calling the callers bro. I'm like, stop calling them bro. That is a woman.
Bra is back. So now I can say bro again.
Bra is a little bit different than bro.
Yeah. Mm. Well, not the way I'm using it. Holler at your boy. I still use that.
Holla.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can holler at me.
Somebody wrote on one of my reels, they wrote, you're such an encyclopedia dramatica.
I like that.
I
You hate it.
Oh, it's not that I hate it. I became fascinated with it. I said, twice this week, I have to use Encyclopedia Dramatica in a sentence casually and just gauge people's reactions to it.
I don't think that that's going to be a winning formula.
I did it with my teenager. There was no reaction.
Right.
There was deadpan face, just continued on her way like right. I didn't even speak. I tried it here at work, and I kind of just got like, the polite laughter didn't work.
I mean, I like it. It's clever. I think it's better when it's written, not necessarily spoken, you know?
I like YOLO. I still use YOLO.
That one is,
to me. It's really bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
But we only live once, Raven.
I mean, I'm aware of that, but you know, at your age, maybe you should just say the full sentence.
And now, Anna and Raven's Middle Schooler News.
Aubrey is our middle schooler of the week. Aubrey, where are you from?
New Boys.
And do you want to give a shout out or hello to anybody today?
No.
All right.
She's like, I did the work. Yeah. I don't need to thank anybody, right?
Mm-hmm. Aubrey, have you ever considered a career in broadcast news where you report the news?
When I was little.
And now that you're grown, you've got other ambitions.
Yeah. Right?
What do you want to be, Aubrey?
A dentist.
All right.
Great.
Very responsible. Great choice.
Yeah. What grade are you in?
Fifth.
Okay, let's do this. Give us the top three stories of the week. Number one.
Thanksgiving is now the next major holiday on the calendar, and Oreo is kicking off the holiday season with their newly unveiled limited edition Test and Learn line of flavors called the Oreo Thanksgiving Dinner Inspired Cookies. The cookies are covered in fudge and infused with one of six different flavors, turkey and gravy, sweet potato, cream corn, apple caramel pie, pumpkin pie, and cranberry sauce. They are available exclusively on the Oreo website, $19.99 plus shipping.
Who wants that? Aubrey, you want that? You want to eat that cookie? Or you think it sounds
Heck
gross?
No.
No, me neither.
I mean, I'm logging in right now.
Oh,
are
gosh.
You kidding me?
Raven just ordered three packages while
Serious?
You were reading the description.
I want to know what that's all about.
Why are you still... Pay attention. You're just online ordering flavored Thanksgiving Oreos.
I mean, they're going to sell out fast. I got to move quickly.
They're not. Trust me. They're not selling out fast.
Oh, did you know you can have custom Oreos made now?
Yes.
Very nice. All right.
I sent them to our boss from us last year, Raven. Way to be on top of things.
That's nice. All right. Okay. Story number two.
It's never too early to be shopping for Christmas. One of this year's hottest Christmas toys is the Labubu, which has become a global phenomenon and collectible for both kids and adults. If you're lucky, you'll get a Labubu, an original, authentic, mischievous monster doll. If you're unlucky, you'll get a Lafufu. Another word I like to use is Lapoopoo. It is a fake knockoff, often a poorer quality.
Wow.
I want to know,
mom's
where,
on
where do
notice
I buy Lapoopoo? That.
Mom's on notice.
Okay.
That's like a PSA. That's good advice because grandparents, they're notorious at going, well, they didn't have the other ones. They look just like them.
Aubrey, give us the last story.
This coming Tuesday, November 11th, we celebrate Veterans Day. Did you know that Veterans Day was originally known as Armistice Day? It began as a day to mark the end of World War I in 1918. In 1954, the name of the holiday was changed from Armistice Day to Veterans Day in order to recognize veterans of all wars. We celebrate and honor America's veterans for their patriotism, love of country, and willingness to serve and sacrifice for the common good. Veterans Day is a time for us to pay our respects to those that have served. For one day, we stand united in respect for you, our veterans. Thank you, veterans.
Aubrey, what a beautiful job you did.
Yeah, excellent work. Aubrey, do you have a veteran in your family?
Not in my family. My bus driver was one.
Oh, great. Oh,
thank you for their service and, of course, for keeping you all safe every day.
Absolutely. We love our bus drivers for sure. Aubrey, thank you so much for being our middle schooler of the week. You did such a great job.
Thank you.
If you've ever been in this situation, you know how heartbreaking it is. You're out with your significant other. You think it's going to be the night that they're going to propose. You're all ready. You've got your special outfit on. You're so excited. You've got those little butterflies in your stomach. And then the night comes. And then the night goes. And nothing happens.
I got to tell you, me and my wife, we took a trip to Cancun. After about 9 months worth of dating, there was a time that she really, really thought, I guess, that that was going to be the moment. And I was absolutely shocked with it when she told me that night. Like, I could see there was obviously something wrong. I mean, it sounds terrible, but I had to laugh. I mean, it's 9 months in.
You laughed at her?
I mean, asking her about it still, listen.
The time we were on vacation in Mexico and the mariachi band came over and you were acting all weird and I thought it was because you had a ring in your pocket and it was because you just don't do romance.
I mean, I gave the mariachi band $5.
To go away, I think.
I mean, you do one song, you walk away is all I'm saying. If there's not a proposal involved, I mean, how long do they have to stay there?
Yeah. I had them come over and sing a nice song and then move on after that. They kept playing there.
See, this is the difference between men and women. And, and actually, this is a huge thing from the book Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. They say right in it that a man, before he proposes, he feels like he needs to know where he's going in his life. He needs to have all his career stuff figured
out. I've seen this definitely in order.
Right.
In that order happened that way.
But women are different. The way women think is that they're more concerned about who they're going ahead in life with.
Right.
Versus what they're actually doing.
The first thing. Right. The guy wants to have it all established and laid out and say, look, I've brought you this dowry. I've brought this thing. It's going to be great. Our life together. And then the woman says, no, we'll figure that out after.
This ever happened to you? You think you were getting engaged and then it didn't happen? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Yeah, so I kind of knew we were at that point, and so I was a little bit, like, expecting it any minute. And we went on this big trip to Italy, and we were walking one night after a dinner in, like, this beautiful cobblestone street. And he was like, let's sit here for a second, and there was no one around. And I was like, oh, my God, it's going to happen. And then we just, like, sat, and it didn't happen. And he was like, all right, let's go back to the hotel. And I was like, wait, what? And then, like, several months later, he did propose, but I was like fully, fully thinking I was going to come back from that trip, like with a ring on my finger and tell everybody. And I got on the plane on the way back and was like, oh, I guess that didn't happen.
Wait, so okay. did you tell him? Did you voice it?
I didn't in that moment, but like after he proposed, I was like, so funny story. I totally thought you were going to do this a while, but he's like, oh my God. And I was like, remember that night? And I started replaying it, and he's like, okay, I kind of see why you would think that. And I was like, yeah, just kind of funny, like later on. And his proposal was really elaborate and beautiful. But I really got home to the hotel and was confused. Like, did he just chicken out? Did I do something wrong?
Yeah, right. He doesn't love me anymore. Here we are in Italy walking along this nice canal.
Wait.
And it's all been a farce.
What did he do to top a piazza in Italy when you were on vacation?
Well, it was my 30th birthday. We had this big trip planned in New Orleans with, like, a bunch of my friends. He proposed on the way to the airport in a limo on my 30th birthday at, like, 6 o'clock in the morning. And then I arrived with, like, the ring on my finger to all of my friends. And it was pretty cool.
That's great.
It was kind of awesome. Yeah.
But, that sounds
like,
fun.
Yeah.
All right, he made up for it. That's good. We'll let that go.
Yeah.
All right, how about you? 1-800-330-9999. Were you ever in that situation? You thought that was the day you were getting proposed to, and it didn't happen. called getting stuck in the relationship phase. You're with somebody for a good amount of time. You think you're moving forward. You're going to get engaged. And then you keep waiting and waiting and waiting. And that ring is never coming. And the worst part is when there's specific days where you have fun things planned where you think that's the day that they're going to propose.
I mean, it could just be like, oh, okay, we put together a nice date.
You ever been in that situation? That ever happened to you? You thought you were getting proposed and you didn't? You can call 1-800-330-9999. Happened to me, Raven. My husband and I, we'd been together since college. And it was a couple years after college. And I just thought it was time.
Yeah.
And it was like 2 weeks before Christmas, and him and my dad went somewhere. And I remember being like,
that's a big flag right there.
No, I thought for sure he's asking my dad permission to marry me.
Right.
I was convinced.
Right.
Convinced. And then I had built up this idea in my head where it's going to happen Christmas morning. And that morning, it was the thing, you know, everybody goes downstairs. Now, keep in mind, my parents are from Italy, so we were not even allowed to sleep in the same room or anything like that. But anyway, we go downstairs, and sure enough, there's a little box under the tree, and it's from him, and it's to me, and I have tears in my eyes.
Oh, my gosh.
And I open it, and it's earrings.
Oh.
And I went upstairs to my childhood room, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried, and then my phone went off, and there was a text message from my best friend, and her boyfriend that she had just been dating for 6 months had proposed. And I wanted to die that day. It was the most humiliated I ever was. And I told him, and he was like, he could not believe.
Couldn't believe that you thought it was going to happen like that.
Especially.
That it was now.
In front of my family, I would do it on Christmas in front of my family. That ever happened to you? You think you were getting engaged and it didn't happen? 1-800-330-9999. Abby, you thought you were getting proposed to and it didn't happen?
Yeah. My now husband, when we were dating, for Valentine's Day, he had this really elaborate date. He rented out like one of those old converted barn. It was all lit up with like the little twinkly lights and everything. He had hired a personal chef. It was all set up for just the two of us to have dinner. It was very romantic, very private. I was positive he was getting ready to pop the question, and then, you know, we had the appetizers and we moved on to the main course. Then we had dessert and it didn't happen. So I spent the majority of the night kind of after that in the bathroom crying or trying to hide the fact that I was crying. And he really screwed up. He had no idea that that's what I was going to expect.
Just to think that he would go that far to make such a romantic evening just as a date. Like, I would 100% be with you. I would be like, this is the night. This is a barn. We're the only two people in here. They're serving us food.
Yeah.
There is wine.
Yeah. It's happening.
Yes. No,
I don't think you're out of line to think that. When you've got a venue and it's just the two of you there, yeah, that makes sense. Private chef, private barn. Somebody better propose to me.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yes.
And then how much later did he actually propose?
Less than a month later. I mean, I think
you triggered him. Yeah. Yeah, when you cried all day.
I think he did kind of intend to, but he just wasn't thinking, why not have it be now? Like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe all my crying made him realize that he was in danger of losing me. So he went ahead and did it.
So,
but it had a happy ending. We're happily married 5 years now. So
that's
all well that ends well.
I have a question. Does he still do romantic things like that now that you're married?
Not that elaborate. I don't know if I'll ever see anything that elaborate again because we have two toddlers now.
Right.
You know, he does.
Like, barns cost money.
Does, yeah.
Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Oh, mama.
Anna and Raven.
It's Mommy's Margarita Friday, and this was a week, I'll tell you that. This is your chance to vent. What went wrong? What went right? And why are you so happy it's the weekend? Of course, you don't have to be a mom. You could be a dad. You could have no kids. You could have all the kids. Your kids can be furry and have four legs. Or maybe you just want to vent about your coworkers. That's cool, too. 1-800-330-9999. Olivia, what did you do this week to deserve your margarita?
I'm pretty kind of basic in my life a little bit. And so I was just happy that I did a load of laundry each day, folded them up and put them away. And I wrote in my journal for 7 days straight. So I'm definitely celebrating.
If I walked into your house right now, Anna, and you were going to tally up all the laundry.
You know, Paul's kind of in charge of laundry.
Oh, yeah. But if we went in there right now as a committee, How much laundry do you think would be undone right now in the household?
Well, this isn't a fair time because remember my boiler broke.
Yeah.
So we weren't able to do laundry.
So it's a lot.
So there's a significant amount. I think we still have to do sheets and towels, and there's probably a few more days left. But it's like constantly going that machine when we're home right now.
Yeah. A loaded day is pretty good though, right? If you can keep that up consistently, you won't go to work naked.
I'm more impressed with the journaling.
Amen.
Every time I say I'm going to journal and I'm going to manifest and I'm going to write my dreams and my goals because that's the only way it's going to come true according to the internet experts, I never actually do it. So I applaud you for actually sticking with that.
Right. You either go to bed or you scroll.
100%.
Right. Exactly. That's what I was doing.
Well, good job.
Yeah.
Good luck.
And you enjoy that margarita.
Yes, ma'am.
Rick, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
Finally, my wife and I, we put up the art that we have. We moved into a new home too long ago to not have the art up, but we finally put the art up in our bedroom. It just kind of been like sitting below the place we wanted to put it, you know, like resting on the wall. Mm-hmm. And we finally put it up, and that is how I earned my margarita this Friday.
Give you a lot of credit. We've been in our house over 2 years now, completely empty walls. There are things that I know where I want to hang them, what I want to do, and they just sit empty. And every time I walk through the room, I think to myself, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Get a hammer and hand it to your husband and tell him to hang something there.
We've been in our house 9 years. Out of all the rooms in the house, there are 4 rooms with things on the wall. Every other room, it's like nobody lives there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like they're moving out or they're in witness protection or they're on the run.
I'm not good at interior design. I can't see things. So I don't want to make a mistake and buy something that I'm not going to like. So I keep waiting for the right thing to call me. But you know what? Pictures don't call me. Paintings don't call me.
That's right.
Apparently curtains don't call me either, or blinds because I don't have those either.
Right.
Well, you enjoy your margarita. Well done.
Thank you.
Ricky, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
Well, actually, we're going to do Daddy's Daiquiri.
Okay, Daddy's Daiquiri. Better. Go ahead.
I winterized our above-ground swimming pool. Temperature dropping a little bit. I let it get a little green. So I actually had to do a full treatment. And that is not easy when the water is colder. But I did get everything clear. I drained it below the skimmer. I put the cover on it. And I think we're going to be okay until spring.
Mm. This is my life. Anna can tell you. I always close the pool late. And as a matter of fact, guess what? Pool's not closed.
What?
It's November.
Mm-hmm.
Pool is not closed
it's
right
time.
Now. Yeah. No, it's been time. I said it was time 6 weeks ago, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And I haven't done it. So it's actually today or tomorrow for me. So that's, we're right there. And I got to clean it again before I close it. I had cleaned it with the intent of closing it. Didn't close it.
Did you rent the scuba suit again?
No, I haven't done that this year yet, but I think I might need to. But I've done that before. Cheat code.
I wish this was a visual medium because that's a funny image.
It's androgynous and completely unattractive, I promise you.
I agree. Yes.
What couple?
Why would he go all the way to Oregon for this job when our life isn't there?
One problem.
Create so many opportunities for the family. I mean, we already have one kid in college already. And
you decide the outcome.
I think that it's going to be really hard on us.
It's just going to create so many opportunities.
Go and take work, guys. Good luck.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Tucker and Kelly. Kelly, you guys are recently married, right?
Yeah. Yes, 2 years.
Okay, 2 years married. All right, so what's going on, Kelly?
Well, I work at a job, and my boss asked me to babysit his kids. And I really love him and his wife. They're really, really good to me. They're really, really nice. Tucker is not happy with me saying yes, and I said yes. But now I'm starting to feel a little awkward about it. I mean, I don't know. I don't see what the big deal is.
Really? You don't see what the big deal is?
What is the big deal, Tucker?
No, I mean, we could use the extra money.
She has a degree. You know, it seems below her. It seems like something you would tell a 15-year-old to do. Mm. Like, it really makes no sense. You have a degree. Like, if you're too old for this. And he's treating you like you're his kid or his nephew or niece or something like that.
I can use your advice.
It's an interesting scenario, right? Because, I mean, it says to me the boss trusts you. But on the other hand,
right. You
know, you already have the job. They've hired you for this job at your company for a reason, and I'm sure you're good at your job. You know what? What if you become the babysitter or the go-to person that is there to help? What happens when you're not available? Does he resent that from you in the future? Or does he always pigeonhole you as, oh, she's just a helper around the office who also watches my kids?
Wait, Kelly, do you have a background in being a babysitter? Like, he was like, oh, you know, he thought you were a nanny or something like that?
No. I've never, not as a profession or anything like that. I used to babysit my brothers and sisters and stuff, but no.
So he doesn't really know. He just asked you out of nowhere because you're young?
I mean, he just asked me, and I just thought that he asked me because he trusts me to watch, you know, his kids.
A little bit weird.
Yeah, young and a woman in the office, right? I mean, why didn't he ask somebody else? Why didn't he choose a professional service?
I mean, who's he going to ask? Bob in accounting?
Well,
45-year-old Bob?
The other thing is, too, is that is if he trusts you with his kids, does he trust you with everything else?
Right.
I'm curious what people think.
Personally, I don't think it's degrading. But because that's not what you do and you have no background where he was like, oh, I remember her saying that she used to nanny. Let me see if she wants some extra cash. That's I find like to be a red flag. Like he just basically asked the young woman that works in his office who's qualified for her job.
Right.
To babysit his kids. And to me, that's I don't know.
Doesn't have a PhD in child psychology. Never a camp counselor.
Kelly, how old are you?
24.
Yeah. All right. Let's see what the audience has to say. If you were 24 years old and your boss asked you to babysit his children, would you?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's amazing how split this is on our text line. Huh. All right. What would you do if you're in this situation? Tucker and Kelly. She's young, 24 years old. She's got a corporate job. Mm-hmm. She works very hard. And her boss asked her to babysit his kids. She's not a nanny. He's never asked her, like, do you babysit on the side? But he asked her, and she said yes. And her husband has a problem with that.
Well, Tucker just thinks it's a bad idea. First off, she's overqualified for that, right? It's not that, they don't value childcare. It's just that she has no background in this whatsoever. She's already great at her job at work. And he's like, why would he think of you for that position? You know, even if he does trust you, what does that mean in the future? He said, you know, it's not great for your career. It's not a good choice.
What do you think? I'm looking at our text line. I think it just means that the boss trusts her. I don't trust anybody with my children. It's very difficult to find people you can trust in your home. Maybe he appreciates her work ethic and trusts her.
Could be that.
On the flip side, this is a major lack of boundaries. I'm with the husband. As a young female professional, you do not want to put yourself in the position to be in your boss's house.
That's what I'm thinking is number one, there's that. But number two, for him to even think of you like that every time. You know, you're somebody that was hired there because of your qualifications already. You're good at your job.
If I was going away and I needed somebody to watch my dogs,
yeah,
I would ask the guys around here. I'd be like, anybody want to come over and watch my dog? I'll pay you.
Right? That's your dog. All right.
I mean, yeah. You think I'm going to let you watch my kids? Danny, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. Because it just is a little weird. My biggest question, though, is it like, hey, my wife and I are going out to dinner one night and I need a sitter, or we're going away for a week and I really need someone to watch my kids?
I don't think it was a week. The way it sounded like a one-time night thing.
Well, I mean, I think it's a one-night thing, but it didn't sound necessarily like a one-time thing, right? It's kind of like, hey, we're looking for a sitter. Do you want to be our sitter?
Who said are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. If you had a professional corporate job and you were young, 24 years old, and your boss asked you on a personal level, do you mind coming over to babysit this weekend? We don't have anyone to watch our kids. Would you be offended and be like, no, I'm sorry, I don't babysit. I'm an adult and I work in a corporate job. Or would you be like, yeah, sure, why not?
You know, being approached at that moment, hearing the backstory, it sounds totally like, man, I could use a couple extra bucks, right? And why not? This could create an in for me at my work. But on the other hand, you know, looking at it from the perspective of, okay, is that how they think of you from then on? Boundaries are really important, I think, when you're in a professional setting, right? And you know what? Yeah. I can only imagine so, even more so for a woman, is that you have to be taken, have to be taken seriously. Yeah. Absolutely. Right.
So what's going on with Tucker and Kelly? Kelly's boss asked to babysit and Kelly said, yeah. Like she was like, okay. You know, she didn't know what to do in the moment and it's her boss. But her husband, Tucker, is like, why would you do that? It's beneath you to say yes to that. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven, what do you think? Who's this?
This is Roxanne. I'm on the girl's side. My daughter did it for her boss, and she loved the extra cash.
I mean, there's no denying extra money when you need it is great.
I just think that at some point, you got to say to yourself, he's never going to give you a raise because he's already paying you for babysitting on the side. It's weird.
Marsha, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side, but not for the reasons he said. It's actually because it creates a dual relationship. When you have a professional relationship with someone and then you start a different relationship with them, it can become very complicated. So what if something happens with the kid? She could get fired. Maybe the kid got hurt while on her watch. Or what if she doesn't like the way that the boss handles things in the home with his family?
Or what if his kids are terrible and she doesn't want to deal with them anymore?
Yeah.
Right, and it's awkward.
No, I think that you bring up a very good point.
And then how does she cut it off? How does she cut it off?
Right.
Dual relationships need to be avoided.
Yeah, the flip side of that is what if it also helps her in her career because now he trusts her on both levels as personal and
because
business.
She's hiding the secret that his children are demons.
Maybe. Yeah.
And Raven, Jamie, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm going to go with her. I was actually her quite some years ago. Granted, I did work in daycare, but I worked for a woman who we hit it off. We got along really well. She had never had a babysitter for her young child, and she asked me to babysit him, and here we are 16 years later, and they are like my second family. They've helped me out throughout the years, and they've just always been like, you know, they've been my go-to family, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it, especially in today's economy. Who can't use the extra money?
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Kelly, our audience agreed with you. I think we tend to think of this as a negative thing, but one, it means that he trusts you so much that he would trust you with his children. And two, this might be kind of like the inside track to build a relationship with him so that you can continue to grow at your company, especially if it's a small company.
Yeah, see, I agree. I totally agree. See, Tucker, I'm not the only one who thinks that way. I think you should just, you know, not make a big deal out of it.
It's a huge mistake.
You know, I don't necessarily agree with how the votes went, but sometimes the fast track is not just that your boss trusts you, but that his spouse trusts you. And if they like you, that can be good.
Right.
Because they talk to them when the hours are already off at the office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I really do think that, I mean, the way that the company is structured, because it is small, I just feel like this is just a great way to be able to have a real relationship and not just like a superficial relationship. So I think it's going to benefit me in the long run.
Mom must already like you a bit and trust you some.
Absolutely. And she does. She's really sweet.
That's how you get the fast track.
All right. If you have a problem, Sue, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$2,900 is the jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven. All right, Amy, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck. $2,900.
Thanks.
Raven's walking out of here. That big old door is going to close, and he won't be able to hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one, Amy. I'll bring him back in. Ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins, ties go to Raven. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's do it. Number one, Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo had a unique way to commemorate their time making the Wicked movies. They got matching tattoos that say "For Good." What classic movie is Wicked based on?
Wizard of Oz.
Number two, Bon Jovi announced he's back on tour starting this summer. John Bon Jovi has a famous daughter-in-law that stars in Stranger Things. Who's that?
Millie Brown? Oh, man, what's her last name? Millie? She's from Stranger Things.
Number three, Good Morning America is celebrating their 50th anniversary. What network airs Good Morning America?
ABC.
And number four, the World Cup is headed to the United States next year. The second phase of ticket sales, with another 1 million tickets available, started this week. How many players are on the field for each soccer team during a match?
12.
And number five, spoiler alert for Love is Blind, in case you haven't watched it yet. The finale a few weeks ago had a first. None of the couples said "I do" at the end of the season. What real-life married couple have hosted the show for a long time?
Nick and Vanessa Lachey.
Okay, not bad. Let me bring Raven back in.
Go.
I don't know if I'd give you number... All right, 3 out of 5 for Amy.
Oh, this is when it starts to get scandalous. Let's see here.
Number one, Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo have a unique way to commemorate their time making the Wicked movies. They got matching tattoos that say "For Good." What classic movie is Wicked based on?
The Wizard of Oz, of course.
Yes. Number two, Bon Jovi has announced he's back on tour starting this summer. John Bon Jovi has a famous daughter-in-law that stars in Stranger Things. Who's that?
Millie Bobby Brown.
Millie Bobby Brown. That's what we were missing. I needed all of it. I'm sorry, Amy. Number three, Good Morning America is celebrating their 50th anniversary. What network airs Good Morning America?
Is it ABC?
Yes. Number four, the World Cup is headed to the United States next year. The second phase of ticket sales, with another million tickets available, started this week. How many players are on the field for each soccer team during a match?
That doesn't seem right. Is it?
Just give me a guess.
11?
11 is right.
That's okay. See? I just had to count. I needed my toe. I had to get my toe out of my shoe.
You can't. It doesn't matter if you count or not, because it does, they don't always play the same forward in the defense, yeah, and all the strikers.
I don't care. You know, I don't.
Number five.
Watch soccer at all.
let me count. Number five. Spoiler alert for Love is Blind. Love is Blind finale happened a few weeks ago, and they had a first. None of the couples said I do at the end of the season.
Oh, no.
What real-life married couple have hosted the show for a very long time?
Isn't it Nick and Vanessa Lachey, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Amy, 5-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
All right. I'm Amy, and I cannot beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $3,000 come Monday, Anna.